The boy stood there, taut as a drawn arrow, awaiting its release. Off to the south somewhere, there were other islands. He drew a deep breath. If he could win his way to a distant island, he could make a place for himself among strangers. And he would never return to Hiku'eru until he should have proven himself. He would come back with his head high held in pride, and he would hear his father say, "Here is my son, Stoutheart, a brave name for a brave boy." Standing there with clenched fists, Mifatu knew a smarting on his eyelids and shut his eyes tight and sank his teeth into his lower lip. Far off in the Himene house, the old ones were singing. Their voices filled the night with rich sound. They sang of long voyages in open canoes, of hunger and thirst and battle. They sang the deeds of heroes. The hair on the boy's damp forehead stirred. The long-drawn mutter of the reef sounded its note of warning in his ears. At his side, Uri touched his master's hand with a cold nose. Mifatu pulled the dog close. "We're going away, Uri," he whispered fiercely. "Off to the south, there are other islands." The outrigger canoes lay drawn up on the beach like long, slim fish. Silent as a shadow, the boy crossed the sand. His heart was hammering in his throat. Into the nearest canoe, he flung half a dozen green drinking nuts, his fish spear. He gave his pareu a brave hitch. Then he picked up a paddle and called to Uri. The dog leaped into the bow. There was only Kivi. Mifatu would miss his albatross. He scanned the dark sky for sight of the bird, then gave it up and turned away. The lagoon was as untroubled as a mirror. Upon its black face, the stars lay tracks of fire. The boy shoved off and climbed into the stern. Noiselessly, he propelled the canoe forward, sending it half a length ahead with each thrust of his paddle. As he drew nearer to the barrier reef, the thunder of the surf increased. The old, familiar dread of it struck at his stomach's pit and made him falter in his paddling. The voices of the old ones were fainter and fainter now. The reef thunder mounted, a long, drawn, hushed yet mighty sound that seemed to have its being not in the air above, but in the very sea beneath. Out beyond lurked a terrifying world of water and wind. Out there lay everything most to be feared. The boy's hands tightened on his paddle. Behind him lay safety, security from the sea. What matter if they jeered? For a second, he almost turned back. Then he heard Kana's voice once more saying, "Mifatu is a coward." The canoe entered the race formed by the ebbing tide. It caught up the small craft in its churn, swept it forward like a chip on a mill race. No turning back now. The boy was aware of a sudden whir and fury in the sky above, a beat of mighty wings. Startled, he glanced upward. There was Kivi, his albatross. Mifatu's heart lifted. The bird circled slowly in the moonlight, its wings edged with silver. It hovered for a moment just over the bow of the canoe. Then it rose easily, lightly in its effortless flight. Out through the passage in the reef, out into the open ocean. Mifatu gripped the steering paddle and followed.